we observed his star at its rising and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so I may also go and worship him." Would you pray with me? Father God, this morning we've come to this place to hear your story once again. The stories of who we should be and what we should do are all around us all the time, tugging at our hearts. We've come because we believe that you are the ones who has the words of life. And so would you open our ears to hear you in these moments? Would you help us find our seat right there by the manger, where we can look on and sit in your presence and adore you until you've changed us so much that we leave from this place by another way, changed from the inside out. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Every year there are two different Christmas stories at play all around us. There's the one that we just watched. That's the story that says it's the season to spend and spend and spend, buying gifts for loved ones and not so loved ones alike. Spending money on decorations, gotta have them inside and out. Money on gift cards, baking ingredients, money for gas for traveling, new sweaters for the parties because last year's sweaters no longer will do, postage for the cards. With each swipe of the credit card, there's another transaction that we will hopefully pay off sometime in the next year. If we're lucky, maybe just in time to do it all again next Christmas. Can't forget anyone on the list. Can't miss a single event on the calendar. It's go, go, go. Spend, spend, spend. It's the happiest season of all, right? More like it can be the stress, it's not a word, but stressfulest season of all, with buyer's remorse and fatigue to top it all off. But then there's the other Christmas story, and that's the real Christmas story. And this Christmas story is actually not about spending at all. It's about a gift, but it's not about a gift that came wrapped in some kind of shiny package. It's about this God giving us the gift of himself, the gift of presence, of love, the gift of time, the gift of grace, of forgiveness, the gift of nearness, yes, even the gift of sacrifice. It's a story about this quiet evening in a humble setting, when the Lord of the universe entered into our neighborhood and invited us to come and to adore him, to begin living life with him. This season, we get to choose which story our hearts will live into. And it turns out they don't really play well together. Spin, 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 go, 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 swipe, swipe, swipe. Stress, remorse, fatigue. Or breathe, breathe, breathe. Sit a while, stay a while, slow down, adore, forgive, be with others. Presence as your greatest present. Joy, peace, love. Which story might we choose this year? In Matthew chapter 2, Jesus has been born, and the wise men are on their way to find him. Who were the wise men, we ask? Most likely they were philosopher types, astrologists, these guys who studied the stars for a living and tried to make sense of them. They probably were wealthy men from the east, maybe somewhere like modern-day Iran on the map. These guys were pagans. not God worshipers. And they've made their way to Jerusalem looking for this one who is said to be born king of the Jews because the stars told them so. They wind up at King Herod's doorstep. Herod is the current king set up by Rome to oversee Palestine. He hears these foreign guys tell him about this new king in town. And it says, not surprising, Herod is deeply troubled. And not just Herod, he and the rest of the ruling class in Jerusalem. You see that term, all Jerusalem, it even includes the religious leaders, you know. Herod gets the Jewish scribes and priests together to verify what's happening, sends them back to their scriptures to help him out, and they go back and they find this prophecy in the book of Micah, and the prophecy says that the new ruler is to come out of Bethlehem. Uh-oh. They go and they let Herod know what they have found. He calls these wise men into him, and he says to them, hey, I have an idea. You guys, you go search for this child, and as soon as you find him, send word back to me of his exact location, because I just really want to worship him too. Does that sound fishy to anyone in here this morning? That's because it is. Herod at first is deeply troubled by the idea of this baby king along with everyone else in Jerusalem. And the very next moment, he's saying, be sure and tell me where he is because I just want to worship him. Yeah, right. Sounds familiar, doesn't it, you guys? Sounds like when our own politicians who haven't been to church in a decade all of a sudden show up in a church service and conveniently they have their cameraman with them during election season using the religious language and ritual to get what they want. And what is that but the votes of the religious people? Because there's a lot of them still. This wasn't the first time that those in power tried to co-opt God to fulfill their very own agenda. And it actually wouldn't be the last. Herod is lying, straight up lying. Later on, we'll see that what he really wants is nothing less than to destroy this child. And he will go to extreme measures to try and make it happen. What I'm getting at is simply this: Herod is not a good guy. And we actually know quite a bit about him historically. You could sum up his reign with words like impressive, effective, successful. Herod's kingdom was known for its size and for its wealth. He worked in cahoots with the Roman government while he ruled Palestine. His job was to keep the peace and to build up Israel like a madman. In a lot of ways, Palestine under Herod mirrored the size and the power of Rome, just on a bit smaller of a scale. But Herod was not one to be outdone. Herod had 7 palaces, and each one of them was larger than those of Caesar. His crowning achievement in his 34-year reign over Palestine was that he rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem. This pagan leader, part of his brilliance and his power was that he gave the religious crowds just what they wanted, a brand new shiny temple. Thankfully, our politicians don't still exchange disingenuous favors for votes from the religious folks today, right? But even with all of his success, with all his money, with all his power, Herod wasn't exactly a stable, content sort of guy. He was a paranoid tyrant, rather, one who ends up killing 3 of his own sons on suspicion of treason, puts to death his favorite wife, and I say favorite because he had 10. He kills one of his mothers-in-law. He drowns a high priest, and he kills several of his uncles and his cousins during his reign. This guy, Herod, is a total mess. A famous quote from Caesar himself said, "I'd rather be one of Herod's pigs than his son." He had everything there was to have, and still it wasn't enough. Herod had everything. And still, in his heart of hearts, Herod had nothing. He had everything, and still his life was defined by what but anxiety and fear. And if his life tells us anything, it tells us that just making $10,000 more a year isn't going to take the pain away. That a bigger house, more power, that's not going to do it either. You can't buy peace, hope, joy, and love. And without those, you've got nothing at all. You can be the wealthiest, most powerful man in the world, and you can still be so dominated by anxiety and insecurity to the point that it chokes out life within you and all around you. This is Herod's story, his sad story. Compare that now to Mary and Joseph, who literally have nothing. They have their baby in a barn of sorts, for crying out loud. And yet, they have everything. They have the one from whom all things were made right there with them. They're bringing in the fullness of God into this world before their very eyes, though few are paying attention. No fame, no buildings, no power. And yet, this simple, quiet moment, tucked away in the dark somewhere in the shadows of the palace, in an ordinary room with just ordinary people gathered around, the most important moment in history thus far was happening before their eyes. And they were the key players in it. And it had nothing to do with spending money or exerting power. That's the Christmas story. Are you seeing the irony here? We live in a culture that has turned this story completely upside down. With the season comes the onslaught of buying more and more to celebrate the very day that our God chose to come to earth as an impoverished baby boy, whose parents couldn't even find a crib for him or even a onesie at that. But instead, they had to use a feeding trough and strips of cloth lying around to clothe him. You guys, our story has been hijacked. Just like Herod attempted to hijack the wise men's journey. Oh, you're going to worship a king. Tell me where he is so I can worship you too. He was hijacking their journey. Oh, you Christians have a religious celebration. Where? When? The retailers ask. We want to come and worship too. Because what is Christmas without a new car in the driveway? A new video game under the tree without gift cards coming out your ears? That just wouldn't be Christmas. Bring us along, they say. We want to worship Jesus too. And with that, a Christmas commercial selling sweaters to add to our collection of 50 sweaters we have already playing in the background. Oh, come, let us adore him. Corporations use the holiday to make as much money off of us weary travelers as they possibly can. Do you see it now? Doesn't it make you just a little bit sick to your stomach? To be played like that, just a little, does me. This year, Americans will spend somewhere around $600 billion on Christmas. And our corporations will try to convince us that that is what the season is all about. It's all about spending money and giving gifts. Did you know that to get clean water for the entire world would take something around $10 billion a year. And we spend $600 billion a year on gift cards and fruitcakes and scarves. You see, something is wrong. Christmas, of all times, is the time we should remember that having it all doesn't mean having life at all. 7 palaces, 10 wives, hundreds of servants will not peace of mind and joy and spirit give. A God who simply chooses to be with us, to love us, to invite us to be with him. Now we're talking about life, and that is abundant life. That's why this Christmas, the challenge is actually to spend less, maybe less than you've ever spent at Christmas before. Right after this scene, Herod will create this new public policy based on his fear and anxiety that will result in the death of every single baby in one village. At the heart of the Christmas story is this baby who poses such a threat to the most powerful man around that he kills a whole village full of other babies in hopes of destroying this child. You see, you guys, right here in an instant, this Christmas story gets really dangerous. Where's the Christmas card depicting that? You see, Christmas isn't just holly and jolly. In its very truest form, Christmas is subversive. It's countercultural. And it is absolutely terrifying to those in power over us. When's the last time your Christmas celebration reflected that part of the story? Because that's a good part. Back to the wise men, verse 9. When they'd heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they'd seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. You guys, this story is insane. Are you picking it all up? Don't let it become too familiar. Because here's what we're seeing right here. The religious establishment, the good church folks, they are in cahoots with a paranoid leader. Sound familiar? You say, don't mix politics and religion from the pulpit. I hear you. But to be honest, that's kind of hard to do when the Jesus that we worship came with this announcement to a king saying, there's a new king in town. And he's from God. He is God. That's religious, and that's political, and it's amazing. So it's not that the religious folks, they're not the ones that are brushing shoulders with this Jesus when he comes. They're the ones worshiping in the palace. It's the truth-seeking pagan philosophers and these roughneck shepherds on the edge of society who see him, who know him. So according to Matthew, it seems if you want to find God in the story, don't go to some temple built by a king to please the religious folks with money and voting power. No, don't go there. You'll have to go to the barn and the shadows of everything to find him. This Christmas, beware. All is not as it seems. As the religious crowd follows the power and fame of Herod, 6 miles away in a barn, the real King of Kings is found by those paying attention. Here's a word of good news for almost all of us today. Any of you ever feel like you're not exactly the right kind of Christian? Ever feel like you're not learned enough in the scriptures? We're not clean enough in your living to be the right kind of Christian. Well, guess what, you guys? You are in good company this Christmas. The right kind of Christian in this story isn't someone who had it all figured out and all put together. The right kind of Christian in this story was a bunch of guys as confused as we are most days, just trying to catch a glimpse of this new king. Unimpressed by the glitz and glamour of the palace, unwilling to buy into the lies of the corrupt king. Let me know where you find him. I just want to worship him. It was these guys not looking for a way to use this baby to get themselves a favor or even another present under the tree, but they were just looking to find him, to see him with their own eyes. to worship and adore him, to know him. That's all. Simple as that. That's all. This year, here's your invitation. Take it as you like. Don't give in to the advertisers and corporations that really don't want to worship at all, but will gladly use the language of Christmas to lure us into spending more. I invite you to spend less on thoughtless gifts and to give more meaningful gifts, namely the gift of your time and your presence. That's what God in Christ gave us. Have a whole day that you turn your phone off and simply pay attention to your kids. That changes everything. And that looks like Jesus. Start a new tradition. Watch movies together, go sledding, bake cookies for your neighbors. Each night, read the Christmas story together. Host a game night for friends. Go on nature walks. Make some crafts. None of these things cost money. Or at least not much. Maybe money for some sugar. I'll get you that if you want. I've got a lot. I never cook. You can have it. Whatever you do this Christmas, know that the people that you love, they're going to forget that plastic toy or that gift card in a few weeks. But if they get a piece of your heart this season, they will cherish it forever. Amen. As we do this, spend less and give more. As we celebrate Christmas for what it really is, I firmly believe with all my heart that we can still be a part of God changing this world through the Christmas story. That is the real Christmas story. May we recognize that having it all is not having it all after all. That's the challenge. We've heard the two stories tugging for our souls this morning. Question, which story is going to get it? Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, that you didn't come into this world and try to quickly buy our love and disappear, but instead that you came into this world to live your life among us, to be present to us, to show us the way by being with us. That this is the best Christmas story, the only Christmas story. A story so powerful that it makes kings and princes and presidents shake in their shoes because it turns everything upside down. Oh, we thank you that that's our story. This Christmas, as we gather around, as we buy gifts, as we sit around the Christmas tree, as we sing the songs, let us remember that we're living into the story that changes everything. And could we live as if we believe that is so? For the people in our path this season, it would be easy to just go pick up something at the store and call it good. But it would be transformational to give them a piece of our heart. Would you help us choose that way? It's your way. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.